Wakey, wakey, Central Coast. It's 2GO's Mandy and Akmal for breakfast.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Captain.
Morning. What's that scene? Is it Monty Python where all the fish are going past each other going, morning, morning, morning? Morning.
Fish?
Is it fish?
Oh, yeah,
it goldfish?
I mean,
they're all going past each other because they can't remember saying good morning, so they say morning.
There's a few scenes morning. Where people say morning.
Anyway.
It's a common sort of term.
Yes. I hope yours is off to a great start wherever you are this morning on the Central Coast. A little bit wet, so take care on the roads.
Take care on the roads. That's
and,
right.
Hey, how's this? Petrol. My God, I paid under $1.30 today for the first time in, I can't even remember the last time I paid under $1.30.
What happened?
It was $1.28.
Oh, it wasn't just for you?
No.
Oh,
I didn't just see me coming and go, you've got a special price.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't pay full price.
Not here, darling.
Not for Amanda.
No. No, I was just like, yes, it's finally coming down.
Good, good.
That's probably
good.
Because there's a housing crisis, but, you know, we'll take it.
Look, it all balances out.
Yes.
Don't worry about
we'll
it.
We'll take it.
Just enjoy your life.
Enjoy the petrol prices while you can.
Yeah, because, you know, life's going to end. Just don't take
what
things seriously.
What a cheery way to start the show.
It is cheery, because when you think about it like that way, then you don't worry about silly things.
Right.
Like I think prices. What Akmal's trying to say is don't sweat the small stuff.
Okay, good. Yeah. Don't sweat. Yeah. That's a great message for today.
That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah.
But,
we're all going to die, so don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Good morning.
2GO's Mandy and Akmal on the air right now.
You've been to Egypt?
I have.
You've seen the pyramids?
I have.
They're big. And
do you know what I remember? I remember flying into Cairo and looking out of the window of the airplane and just being completely and utterly gobsmacked at the size of these things just jutting out of the desert.
Oh, yeah.
Like just enormous structures. And from the plane, they looked massive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you get down on ground level and they
That's
are
right.
just
You know,
huge.
When we came to Australia, the first thing I saw was all the roofs. They looked like pyramids.
Oh, yeah.
They've got millions of them. Because we don't have roofs like that.
As a 9-year-old, you're flying in going, wow, they've got pyramids too.
They've got pyramids. And we've only got like 12 or something. They've got millions.
Yeah, yeah.
What an advanced country they must be.
Yeah.
No, but this is, it's look, people, I understand that people want to, you know, just ignite their relationships and have more exciting sexual experiences.
Yeah.
But this is ridiculous. This guy from Holland.
No, he's from Denmark.
Denmark, Holland, they're all the
Don't
same.
Don't blame the Dutch,
they're
mate.
All
the Dutch
the
are civilised. Do not blame the Dutchies.
I can't tell the difference. Can you?
Yes, I can. My dad's Dutch.
Well, you can, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, but,
go on.
You know, that's not my dad. He must be...
Danish guy. What did he do?
He's a Danish guy, and him and his missus or his girlfriend or someone made love on top of the pyramid. On top of the pyramid. Now, that doesn't sound to me like a comfortable sort of thing. You know, it's very pointy.
Yeah.
And it would have hurt
That's
a
what
lot.
She said.
But when the pharaohs built the pyramids 3,500 years ago, I'm sure that was the intention. Because people were, it's a mystery. Why? Why would they build such huge monuments?
Yeah.
Took them 20 years to build that monument. It took amazing amount of mathematics and architectural genius.
Yeah.
So some foreigner
from Denmark.
Yeah, just goes and has a bit of a shag. That's what it is. They're going to have to include that in their hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
This is in years to come.
This is a shag-free zone.
Dutch guy who shagged his girlfriend on this sacred monument.
My friend has climbed a mountain and shagged on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's fairly standard, isn't it? People like to do that, don't they?
On top of a mountain.
Maybe something to do with being up high.
Yeah, he couldn't rise the mountain himself, so thought, let's go up.
Well, I was just thinking if this woman wanted to, you know, have sex with something that was 4,000 years old, she could have just gone to the local nursing home.
Darren Hinch?
Yeah.
She could have had sex with Darren Hinch on the pyramid.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
He's a friend of the show. We love chatting to him from the Angels. Coming to town for the Red Hot Summer Tour, John Brewster. Hello.
Hello, John.
How you going, Mandy? Akmal.
Good. We're great, mate. Are you getting into the Christmas spirit? What's happening at your place?
Not a lot right now. I'm just sitting in the front room overlooking the sea down at Encounter Bay. I'm in South Australia. That's where I live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It's very nice this morning.
Very, very nice. I'm a South Aussie girl myself.
Good.
Yeah, so I know where you are. And do you decorate tree? Do you have special...
Do you celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, do you have food?
Yeah, we have. Well, it's hard to get everyone together these days, but we're celebrating Christmas 2 days before it. You know?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Because,
Jesus won't mind. You know, he doesn't care. It's not even clear that he was born on that day.
Well, it's just an arbitrary
it
day,
doesn't
let's
matter.
Be honest.
It's arbitrary. So it's a day to eat ham and get pissed for Jesus.
I like the way you're talking.
Yeah. So a couple of days before Christmas, you'll all get together. And then what happens on Christmas Day? Just something very low-key?
Yeah, Sue and I will go up to friends for margaritas and bagels first thing in the morning on Christmas Day.
That's a good start.
A classy start to Christmas
and
Day,
look,
John.
If I've got a few muso friends, and whenever they get together, it's the inevitable jam begins, and as they get more and more pissed, the jam becomes a bit more
loose.
Are you guys guilty of that? I'm sure.
We have been, yeah. And I mean, all my sons play, so it's always possible that we'll do something.
Yeah, it's always
We do some shows with the Brewster Brothers with my three sons on stage with us, just Rick and me, those three guys. I feel like Fred McMurray, you know.
How fantastic, though, to be able to do that with your kids.
It's incredible to have an...
Amazing, yeah.
One of, you know, it's an incredible power to have an instrument and you can bring in with you at a party and then just have everyone mesmerised. As a comedian, I just annoy people. Just if I start doing my act in the middle of a Christmas party, it was like, shut up.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, I might annoy people too.
No.
Now, you're coming up to do the Red Hot Summer Tour, and I was really excited when I heard that Susie Quatro was coming up. Really pumped to come to this show. Have you seen Susie before? Have you met her? Have you worked with her?
We've done a lot of stuff with her. We did the other side of the Red Hot Summer Tour. There's like alternative gigs. So we did 10 of those with her beginning of this year. So we're familiar with Susie. She'd become a great friend of ours her husband Rainer. We went out and bought all the Angels records. He was like a fan. He came into our dressing room and got us to sign them all. And
oh wow! Yeah,
but she's fantastic. I mean, the bass is about 6 inches off the ground. You know, like she slings it low. And she's just a powerhouse. She's a great bass player.
Unbelievable. But I always think that low bass must be so difficult to play, when it's that low.
She does a pretty good job of it.
Amazing.
Actually, my son Sam played bass for her on one song when they did that Tumbling In with Dave Gleason sang with her and Sam played the bass. That was a rather nice moment.
Yeah, of course. That's amazing.
That'll happen again.
She's an icon. She's an amazing icon. Which other female guitarists and musicians do you like? Do you,
I like all the he likes all the females. That's what I've heard. He's a big fan of women.
We do. And, you know, I have to say, one of my favourites of the lot happens to be doing the same tour, which is the Baby Animals, Susie DiMarchi. She's incredible.
Yeah. She is. She's red hot. She's fantastic and can play. So all of these guys are going to be there at Mount Penang Parkland. Carry on the 9th of March. Tickets are available, ticketmaster.com.au. But I tell you what, we will be there with bells on to see you guys, to see the Angels, John. So thanks for chatting to us today. And we'll catch you on the other side of Christmas. In the meantime, enjoy your margaritas and your bagels.
Yeah, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds very good. We'll see you there.
Okay, and, you have a great Christmas too, and don't upset too many people with the comedy.
It's too late. It's too late.
It's way too late for that, John.
But thank you, mate. Best of luck with the gig.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
Join in on the conversation, 132710. We'll send you along to the Central Coast's very own open water obstacle course on the Gosford waterfront, aquasplash.com.au. Check it out. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for the kids. They love it. Hey, I want to know, have you seen an unusual wedding request in your time? Because this is just blowing my mind, right? Mm. This is an American bride and she's getting married in Hawaii. And she sent out the invitations. Just have a listen to the demands of her guests.
Okay.
This is people who are going to her wedding to celebrate her marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she said there's going to be some sort of synchronized dancing along the beach.
Oh, yes.
Right? Now, that in itself, you go, God, I'm going to have to do synchronized dancing.
I've got to synchronize with everyone else.
Yeah.
I dance to my own beat.
Yes, you do, sir.
I'll tell them that.
Yes, you do.
Can you say that? Can you?
I know. Well, probably not. Listen, it gets worse. Excuse me. She wants people to wear the same thing so that when they're doing the synchronized dancing, it will create an incredible visual effect. She said, I'm giving you a long notice of a year and a half so that you have time to find and pick out something nice. But what I would like you to wear is, women weighing between 45 and 72 kilos. Oh,
whoa. Big range.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's me. So I'm in that range.
What are you?
I'm about 60 at the moment.
60? It's not bad.
You know, it depends how much cheese I've had the night before. So I've had a bit of cheese, 61.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Women weighing between 45 and 72 kilos are expected to wear, listen to this.
And I'm listening.
Imagine this in your head.
Yes.
A green velvet sweater. Ugh. Orange suede pants,
mm-hmm.
and Le Bouton heels. Now, these are very famous red-heeled, expensive shoes.
Le Bouton.
And a Burberry scarf.
Burberry scarf.
Now, Burberry like is a brand. Burberry is a brand, and it's often a checkered sort of beigey sort of. So, green, you know, sweater, orange suede, red heels, Burberry scarf.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Is this woman... like, that's crazy. Well, mentally, or?
I don't know, but wait for it.
Yeah?
If you're over 72 kilos and you're a woman.
Oh, you don't come.
Right? Wait, no.
I come.
You have to wear black pants, black top, and black shoes.
And stay away from the buffet.
You know what? I would be tempted to put on weight just so I don't have to get the orange suede pants.
You know, I'd be tempted to just find a new friend.
Yeah, I would be too.
Just look, I don't want to come. I'm not interested.
Wait, you haven't heard the men's outfits yet.
Oh, it's still coming. Oh,
it's still coming. Yeah. Listen to this.
I was wondering where the men's...
Listen to this. Keep in mind the orange suede pants and all the rest of it.
It's in there.
Men up to 90 kilos.
Yeah.
So is that you? You're under 90, aren't you?
I'm under 90.
Okay, yeah. Well, you would be asked to wear a purple fuzzy jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Like a soda hat and white trainers and have plain glow sticks.
Well, that's not far from what I'm wearing now. Except for the... I need a glow stick. Anyone got a glow stick?
Yeah, has anyone got a glow stick?
Get out of your glow sticks for the wedding, Akmal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You know, they make up all this fuss and then about 4 weeks later, they're divorced.
Well, listen to this. Now, Widow, this is you, I'm presuming, over 90 kilos.
Yes, that is me.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
Well, you would be expected to wear full camouflage outfit and black sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
This is so crazy.
Camouflage.
So
people go,
where are all the fat guests?
Yeah, where are the fatties?
We don't know.
We can't see them.
I just run into one.
Anyway, I think this is just ludicrous, and I know this happens. Now, maybe not to this extreme, but there certainly is a lot of requests these days from brides and grooms with dietary stuff, with clothing.
There's a formula that you need to follow here.
Oh, Lordy.
You listening?
Yeah.
The formula is the bigger the fuss you make in your wedding, the more unsuccessful the marriage will be.
Wow. Okay.
I'm in a very happy, successful marriage.
Mm. And just, you didn't even show up.
I still haven't shown up. I haven't met my wife yet.
No. I think you're right. If it's more extravagant, sometimes there's more pressure and there's more
they're
something.
They're hiding things.
Yes.
Insecurities. It's...
All right. This is what I want to know this morning. 13, 27, 10. Have you had an unusual wedding request in your time? Have you seen an unusual wedding request that someone told you about? 13, 27, 10, you could score yourself some Aqua Splash passes.
I've got one, but I'll tell you after this. One of my wife's cousins is really strange. She insisted that no children be allowed anywhere near the wedding.
Mm.
And she doesn't like children, but I don't know why she's getting married.
Well, children are just a bit hard work. They're noisy sometimes.
Yeah, but that's why you get married, to have babies.
I know.
Anyway, she didn't bring any, no children allowed, and she brought her two big Alsatians.
Oh, wow.
And they were dressed up with like, and then one did a poo in the church.
No.
I made that up.
Okay.
But it would have been funny. It would have been a better story.
It would have been.
You know.
Anyway, let's go to Mark. I'm sure he's got a good story.
I'm sure
Mark
he
from
does.
East Gosford, hello.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys, I'm officially a celebrity. I've been recognised.
Oh, really?
What do you mean?
East Gosford Chicken Shop. She said, are you Mark from East Gosford? I said, yeah. And a mate of mine rang me up and said, are you Mark from East Gosford? I said, yeah.
Yay! Oh, look at you.
We should bring you in to do the show.
We should.
It sounds like Mark's done everything else anyway.
Well, you've got a story for everything, which is what I love, Mark. But what's happened with the wedding? Like, have you had an unusual thing that you've been requested to do for a wedding?
Many years ago, when I had my motorcycle business, we were asked to supply Harleys to take the bridal party to a nudist beach on the... over at Mossman.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Anyhow, once we took the bridal, the groom was taken on the back of a what's called a survey car, like a Harley you sit on.
Yep.
And all the brides were taken on single Harleys. As soon as we got there, the bridal party dropped their gear, but all the well endowed males were asked to tape their manhood to the left hand thigh so it doesn't affect the photo shoot.
Are you serious?
What?
Serious. But there was a real lot of tape going around. If I'd have got my gear off, I would have to tape myself down, but it's all good.
Talk it up.
That's bizarre.
So why would they... So they're having their bridal wedding at a nudist beach. Like, I haven't got over that part yet, Mark, let alone the taping bit.
They got married. They were nudists. So there was a nudist beach over at Mosman's. HMAS, I can't mention.
Right, okay. So they were nudists to start with. Okay, so I get that. So why did they have to tape their members to one particular side, though? What's that about?
Well, they're worried about some of the guys getting excited and sort of ruining the photo shoot.
Taping it down.
Oh, I see.
So they were asked to tape themselves down. The same as where you went. Blue tack with your women's dresses and stuff like that.
Right. You know what, Mark? You, no wonder you're being recognised on the street, my friend. You have the weirdest stories of anyone we know.
Love to see this.
I've got a million of them.
You're
a guy. You're not coming to my Christmas party because I never get invited to yours. I'm really pissed off.
We forgot to invite.
Well, that's all right. We're going to give you some passes to
give
Aquasplash.
You a job.
No, we're going to give you some passes to Aquasplash.
We're
going to give you your own segment. That's what we're going to do. Have a great day.
Good morning, Central Coast. This is Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
South Australian police.
Yeah, aren't they great, the South Aussie police?
Well, I don't know.
There's nothing killjoy about them at all.
No. No, because there's a town called Morgan, named after a guy called Morgan, I'm assuming.
It's near Wakery. It's in the Riverland. So I come from South Australia. So it's just in that sort of Riverland region, the Riverina region.
The Riverina region. Yes, I know it
Morgan.
Well.
Morgan.
And they had a Christmas evening, you know, just to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Mm. And they had some Christmas carols and, the usual.
They had a pageant, I think. It was like along the street. This is a very small country town, I should point out. This is not a big town at all.
Nah, a couple of streets.
Yeah, main
people,
street.
Yeah,
you'd everyone be an gathers idiot. Around for Christmas.
If you got lost, you'd feel like a fool.
Yeah, you would.
Excuse me, what's this street? It's the other street. It's the other one.
It's the other one.
Just keep walking. Yeah. You can't miss it.
It's two pubs and a post office.
Yeah.
So there was like a pageant, I think.
It was like a parade. And they had and the big man Santa was on top of this. It was on top of like a ute.
Yep.
And he was waving at the kids, giving them presents. That's what he does. That's his job. You know, he doesn't work very hard. You know, it's just one day.
He spreads joy, though. You know, that's what his main job description is, just spread the joy, whether that's giving out lollies, presents,
he's been around
smiling.
For a while, but, you know, he could do with a bit of exercise.
Yeah, but, you know.
You know, he's not getting any younger.
No.
His heart's going to give.
But no one wants a skinny Santa, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
No one wants a skinny Santa.
No. This is what happened, right? This is a funny story. But the parade was stopped by the police because... The Santa that was on the ute was not properly strapped in.
So unsecured Santa.
An unsecured Santa. How often do you hear that sentence? There you go. What were they expecting to do?
Oh
they want to like.
God, that's so dumb.
Strap him with one of those elastic things.
Oh, the Oki
strap. The Oki strap. Oki strap Santa. Oki strap Santa. I don't think I've ever said that sentence before.
Oh my God.
I've said a lot of
dumb.
New sentences
you
that
have.
In this job. The Oki strap Santa was un-Oki strapped.
So what happened to Santa? Did he get fined or something?
Yeah. Well, they fined a driver.
They fined the driver.
Well, yeah, for Christmas. There you go. A little gift.
Merry Christmas.
Gift from the police force.
$300 and 3 demerit points as well.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
thank
everybody.
You, officer.
Yes.
Good on you.
I love that the president of the local chapter of the Lions Club, his name's Ernie.
He wasn't happy.
Ernie Asplin wasn't happy, mate.
Nah,
he said... Who would book Father Christmas for Christ's sake? I know Father Christmas took down the officer's number, so he won't be getting any presents this year. This is a sad state of affairs.
It's an outrage. It's an outrage.
2GO's Mandy and Akmal on the air right now.
What is the current temp, Akmal?
20.
Well, yeah.
Bang on. Look at you go. Wow.
The third eye's working overtime.
Excellent. Glad to hear
be
it.
Be careful of the third eye.
Well, I want the third eye to come with me to a car boot sale because maybe the third eye could tell me if I can see anything that's of value.
Oh, yeah.
Because, look, and honestly, give us a call if this is you. If you found something at a car boot sale or at a garage sale or in a secondhand shop that's turned out to be really, really valuable.
Would you feel, guilty if you say an old woman is having a garage sale and her sight's fading.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
And she's, how much is this? Oh, this painting? Oh,
you can have it for $10.
Oh, $10. We'll make it $5. Yeah, all right, $5.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a Salvador Dali.
No, I would not feel
worth
bad.
$42 million.
Yeah.
You wouldn't give her any of that money?
Of course I would. I would go around and make sure she had a few mil just to live comfortably for the rest
of
her
life. That's nice of you.
I would.
Yeah. Some people wouldn't, though.
I know.
They go, no, it's mine.
It's mine.
You know? And she's like, hey, she's going to go soon anyway. She's old. What is she going to do with the money?
This is what I dream about because I go to a lot of car boot sales and I love the secondhand shops. I love it, right?
You're
and
waiting for that Monet, aren't you?
I am. I'm waiting for this. But this is one of those stories and this is so cool. It's from England. It's from Derbyshire. South Derbyshire, a guy called Carl Martin went to a car boot sale. And this is 5 years ago. And he bought this. He thought it was just a cool piece of pottery. It just looked like a, you know, a vase. It was like a
cool old vase.
Yeah. And he took it home and he thought, you know what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to stick the toothpaste and the toothbrushes in that. That'll look good in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Bit rustic, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
So he did that. It's got like some antelopes painted on it. And he thought, that's cool.
I like antelopes.
Looks a bit old.
Yeah.
So he stuck it in his bathroom with his toothbrushes in it. And then he worked out that it actually, so this is years later, he saw another piece of artwork going into an auction house.
Similar, without the toothpaste.
Without the toothpaste, and it had the same sort of antelopes on it. And he went, that looks like the thing I've got at home in my bathroom. Maybe I'll just check it out.
Maybe I'll get another one to match the set.
Well, he checked it out. It was a Bronze Age piece of pottery.
Yeah.
From like 1900 BC, so before Christ, 2000 years before Jesus, this pottery was made in the Indus Valley Harappan civilization.
The Harappan civilization.
Yeah. That's in South Asia.
Yeah, where?
South Asia.
Oh.
During the Bronze Age.
How much is it worth?
I don't know how much it's worth, but he was just like, oh, my God, it's got toothpaste stains on it.
Yeah, it's got,
because he'd just been throwing the toothpaste. And you know what happens when you've got the vase with the toothpaste and stuff? All the gunge goes down to the bottom of the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the slag and the old toothpaste dribble and everything.
It survived nearly 4,000 years. But it didn't survive what's-his-face's...
Yeah, Carl Martin's slaggy toothbrush. You know,
having the Colgate all over it. It's a strange story.
It's great. I love it because I just dream. This is my dream. One day, I hope.
Well, I hope it comes true.
Thank you.
But unlikely.
I would dearly love it. Yeah, unlikely, really. Yeah, let's
you know. You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO. Yeah. Mandy and Akmal's normal. Or nuts.
Look, we just break down the behaviour of each other, of our friends, our family.
Just think of us as two Dr. Phils, which is probably makes, you know, both together makes one Dr. Phil.
Well, you're more like Dr. Phil than me. Firstly, you're a male. Secondly, you're bald.
Yes. Keep going.
You're not wealthy or rich or
popular. Well, he's wealthy popular. And rich.
Oh, well, you are popular, but you're
not popular, but not rich.
You're not as big a celebrity as him. Anyway.
But at least I'm not a dickhead.
Oh, you can't say that. Stop talking.
Hopefully I'm not.
Well, you're not.
I'm not.
You're not.
How's that working out for you?
Anyway, let's talk about some behaviour. Now, this is a friend of mine. I love this woman so much. She works in Sydney. Mm. She works in Sydney. And at the end of the week... On a Friday.
Yeah, that is the end of the week.
When she's tired and she's had a full week and she's still got an hour and a half train ride home.
Yeah.
On a Friday evening after work, she will have cheese and crackers and a glass of wine on the train home.
Oh, yeah.
It's like her own little happy hour on the train.
Does she pretend that she's royalty, like in the royal carriage?
The royal carriage.
Yeah, the decks on the wine. and then that's that fantasy spoiler. Get off at Woy Woy, next stop.
This train will stop at Woy Woy. Have you noticed that the train guy always goes up and it's like a question? It's almost like he goes, this train will be stopping at Woy Woy? Yeah. Maybe, that's, if you're lucky.
They're not sure. Because he's had some of your friend's wine.
Maybe. But you know what? I think this is kind of a cool idea. I'm going to say this is normal. I mean, you know, I understand you're not supposed to drink on trains and stuff.
Why not?
Well, because you're not. Like, why? That's just the rules.
Don't drink and get on a train.
Well, you know, because there can be some unruly behaviour on trains and we don't want to encourage that.
But your friend wouldn't.
She's just having a small little wine and a little bit of cheese and crackers, maybe a bit of dip.
Maybe
that's the unusual part of this. Maybe, is that she's having a cheese platter.
Maybe
on the
a casserole. Maybe she's got a little stove that she starts up and
the whole thing. Yeah, all right, what do you reckon?
A buffet.
Is it normal or nuts?
Well, you know, if you're asking me, it's everything's normal. You know,
I know nothing's too nuts for you, but this is the problem. This is a segment where you have to choose normal or nuts.
I've killed chickens on trains. No, I haven't.
Oh wow.
No, no.
You're a vegan. You haven't killed chickens on trains.
No, I haven't. I love chickens.
So you're going normal, Akmal?
I'm going normal, of course. Yes, okay. I would say
nuts for me.
Why do you think that's nuts?
Well, one, because it's illegal. I'm Mr.
You're, yeah, illegal. You're never going to break a rule like
exactly,
that, are you?
Gosh. Exactly. But also, like, if I was sitting next to someone on a Friday
cheese.
And they're cutting open some cheese, having wine on a train, that's nuts.
Would you prefer them to, like, be picking their nose and flicking it on?
No, I don't want them to do
I've
that
had
either.
That. I've had some crazy guy. A lot of crazy people on trains.
That's right.
You've got to be
that's
careful.
Right. Exactly. One of them is my friend, and she's having a cheese platter and a glass of wine on a Friday night.
And that's why I think it's nuts.
No, see, I love this. I think it's normal. So we've got a couple of normal, couple of nuts, one
nuts.
No,
he's not a couple. He's just one.
He's one.
It looks like he's a couple.
No. So get on the phone and vote right now. 13-27-10. You might even score yourself a Singo's ham. Is it normal or nuts to have wine and a cheese platter on the train? Let's go to Shane from Empire Bay. Hey, Shane.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Really well, buddy. What do you reckon, normal or nuts?
Oh, I'm sort of boring on normally nuts, but, you know, I'm just visualising a little red and white checkered tea towel with the cheese platter and the glass and the feet up on the
seat.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Bring it on.
Yay!
Bring it on.
So normal. All right, thank you,
that's
Shane.
Life.
Fabulous. I do love the checkered tablecloth idea too. Deirdre?
Well, you've seen the Midnight
Express.
Not Midnight Express, sorry. No, that's a different one.
Okay. Deirdre from Glenning Valley, what do you think, normal or nuts?
I think it's normal.
Normal. Like have it. You done this? Is this something that you would consider?
Yes, I would. Oh. If you've had a hard day at work, I'd like to be relaxed on the train home.
I agree wholeheartedly. Okay.
Have you done weird things on the train? Be honest now. This is no one's listening.
No, I haven't done weird things. I've just been relaxed and kept to myself.
Yeah, absolutely, Deirdre. That's amazing. Thank you, Alicia from Point Claire. Normal or nuts to have a cheese platter and a little wine on the way home on the train?
I have to say I'm with Widow on this. This is completely nuts.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
why you. Do you say so, Alicia?
Aside from the fact that, you know, what are you going to use to cut the cheese with? it'd be all right in the UK trains where they have the little tables.
Yeah.
But, no, you don't want to be, you know, cutting, you know, stinky cheeses and what have you. Just no.
Alicia. No. I think the stinky cheese is definitely a factor that I hadn't considered because it does stink a little
what
bit.
What about
cheese.
Stinky people?
Well, stinky people are worse than stinky cheese.
People smell like cheese that's gone off. You know what's that cheese that...
The blue cheese.
Blue
we're
vein cheese.
Talking about the blue,
blue
cheese.
Blue vein cheese. Tastes just as nice as it sounds.
Cherie from Gosford. Hi.
Hi.
What do you reckon, normal or nuts?
It is completely normal compared to what some things I've seen on a train.
Yes.
What have you seen?
Well, one of the last times I was taking a trip to Sydney, there was an old lady in the quiet carriage playing the harmonica.
That's great.
Yeah, quiet. That's fantastic. I mean, I tell you what, if you've got your cheese platter and your glass of wine and a little bit of harmonica music, you're sorted.
Yeah, just don't swallow the harmonica.
It's Friday night, sorted. All right, let's finish things up with Glenn from Tuggeranong. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? Good.
Fabulous, good. Fabulous. Normal or nuts, my friend?
Nah, I've got to go nuts. Maybe a little bit of wine, but the full pre-dinner party drinks and nibblies and that, a bit over the top, I think.
You know, you could have a little bit of salami. I mean, you could really get going.
Salami?
I mean, you could have a little bit of sliced salami, some olives. I mean, you could really go to town, Glenn.
Get a bit of soup.
I know, you could, but I think, a bit over the top, maybe.
Well,
bit nuts.
Fair enough.
A bit nuts. Well, thank you for joining the conversation. We're going to send you to Singo's to get yourself a Christmas ham, my friend.
Mm. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks very much.
No worries at all. You can eat it on the train, too, if you like. Imagine just carving a ham on the train.
Or bringing an actual live pig.
Wow.
On the train.
Let's have a look at the tally. We've worked out, so out of those calls, three of them say normal, two nuts. It's normal.
That's normal.
Wow.
Normal.
There you go.
Normal. Murder on Orient Express. That's what I was thinking.
Wow.
Orient, not
your
midnight.
Your brain's finally caught up.
What a way to start your day. Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
This story caught my eye. It's from late last week, but this is something that I reckon if you work in an office and you use email, will definitely you'll be able to relate to.
There's not many people doing that.
Well, you don't. I mean, you didn't open your work email the whole time you worked here. Now, you're about to finish up on 2GO in a couple of weeks, and you've checked your emails how many times?
None.
Nuns.
No times.
No times.
No, but I will get back to everybody. I got, yeah. I got 8,000.
You got about 8 days to get back to everyone.
Well, 1,000 a day.
You had 8,000 a couple of months ago, and we officially can't get into your account anymore.
They've shut it.
It's shut,
shut
down.
It.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
If you persevere, you win.
Anyway, this is something that I think everyone who's ever done a reply all email can relate to. A guy in Utah, he hasn't been identified, probably because it's too embarrassing. He's a government worker, and he hit reply all to an email and sent it to 25,000 people, 25,000 government employees.
Yeah.
So everybody started getting an email, and then can you imagine what happens when 25,000 people reply all to a reply all email?
Yeah.
Right? So people's inboxes were breaking.
Exploding,
and
yeah.
People were going crazy saying, stop replying to all. Stop the madness. Everybody, stop responding. People using caps lock. Yes, me too. Please, stop that.
What was the message? What?
Well, you know what? I don't even know the message was. It was something about one of the Kris Kringle things about bringing a gift for the Kris Kringle or something. It wasn't even important. Yeah.
He's trying to do a good deed.
Yeah. And look at,
I'm not on, I don't use Facebook anymore because I used to.
Mm.
And anyone who asked to be my friend, I would just accept whether I knew them or not.
Mm.
And it got to 5,000.
Mm.
And I couldn't remember. And you know when you go overseas and you have to, like identify your friends?
Yeah,
I couldn't identify anyone, so I couldn't get into it because I'm going, who's this? Barry Jones from Townsville. I have no idea who Barry Jones from Townsville is, right? Anyway, the big mistake about doing that is if you accept everybody and you lose track of who's on your Facebook, people can do things like what happened to me. Someone sent me a closed sort of email and I opened it and it was porn. And it was really quite horrible porn, actually, but that's not... That's not the end of the story.
Mm.
It spread to everybody.
So you gave 5,000 people a virus.
Well, not just 5,000, because those 5,000, 5,000 people, anyone who opened it went to their friends as well. And I was getting messages saying, how dare you send me this? I've got kids. And what's she talking about?
No.
So yeah.
So those 5,000 people thought it was coming from you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and I had comments like, yeah, I wrote an apology to everyone. I said, it wasn't me, I swear. And it wasn't. And most of them didn't believe me. And then I had people I didn't know, guess, where's my porn?
Why didn't
I get it? I didn't get porn.
No.
This is why Akmal will never be given a government email account.
No.
Or 25,000 people would get that.
Or a job or a government. Anything to do with government. I suspect that, don't trust
just
them.
Technology and you in general is probably a bad idea.
Technology,
isn't it?
And work.
Work and technology.
Yeah.
Look, just go back to bed, mate.
Oh, thanks.
Good morning, Central Coast. This is Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
Join the conversation 13 27 10. We'll send you along to the Red Hot Summer Tour. 2GO is proud to present Susie Quattro and the Angels when they come to the coast of the Red Hot Summer Tour 2019. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com.au.
Yeah, we'll give you some tickets if you get involved in this conversation, because this is something that that I saw on the TV last night and I thought, what's going on here? So Akmal's trying to make me laugh by pulling faces at me.
Well, you know,
why are you pulling?
I've tried everything else. This is words don't work.
Yes. They do. You're a very funny man.
Very funny man,
You do have to
yes.
make sense, though. Sometimes you don't make sense.
Oh, yeah. You
anyway.
With you making
small,
sense.
Small
jeez.
Things.
So demanding.
Anyway, last night I'm watching the TV and this ad came on the TV and I just went, huh? What? Somebody is saying on the TV that you should give someone you love a hearing test for Christmas.
For Christmas.
Now, who's giving hearing tests for Christmas?
I'll tell you why they're doing this. Because if you are hard of hearing and the ad comes on, you're not going to hear it. So someone else has to come in. You see what I'm saying? Like
I understand the theory behind it, Akmal, but I'm going, what a dumb, crappy Christmas gift.
See, that's the sound of laughter.
I know.
You should give it a go sometime.
I do laugh at you.
Give it a go. It's good for you. No, I understand what you're saying. It's a weird gift.
Like if somebody gave you a present and you opened it and it was a hearing test, how would you feel about that?
Well, I'd say, you know.
You'd say, thanks. That's a crappy.
Well, my eyesight's going, so I can't see it. No. Look, you know, it's strange. I saw the other day an ad for electricity. I mean, who's using that? You know, if you're watching the TV, you've got electricity, right? You're not going to go, yeah, this electric company. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's should get electricity. No, I've already got it.
Well, they're competitive though, right? So they're trying to win your business.
Well, that's a good way to spoil the joke. Okay, thank you very much.
No worries.
She's the joke killer, they called her.
Anyway, I want to know if people are buying inanimate, like non-tangible things for
inanimate
Christmas.
Inanimate means doesn't move.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, yeah, I mean like intangible, non-tangible things for Christmas presents.
Yes, yes. I think it's a good idea.
The hearing test present.
No. Any present that is not bought from Maya.
Yeah.
You know, because you run out of ideas. You know, like I can only, my uncle, who's passed away now, sadly, for my 21st, I swear to God, gave me a comb. On my 21st.
Were you bald at that point?
No.
Oh, okay.
It would have been funny then. It would have been
a joke. Yeah.
But no, he gave me a comb and I had really thick hair and I think it, yes, anyway.
Anyway, you're right though. There's too much stuff in the world.
Yes.
So I think it's a good idea. Alan, you give your mum something that's very weird for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't believe in buying, as Akmal said, presents of monetary value because I feel people judge you based on the value of the present, right?
That's
right,
true.
Yeah. So I said to my mum, instead of me buying you pointless crap, why don't I pay a bill? And that bill happened to be Rego ones.
Yes.
So now my brother and I, we say, what have you got coming up? Whatever it may be.
That's so Rego, cool. I really electricity. Like that. Right.
That is cool. And then for the next year, she'll say, who paid for your Rego? It seems different this year. Alan, my son, paid for my Rego. It's great. But, you know, I've decided, you know, Mickey D, who comes in next? I now know what I'm going to get him for Christmas.
What?
A colonoscopy. No, he can really use one. Merry Christmas, Mickey.
All right, okay.
You know what? We want to know about your non-tangible Christmas gift. So you're giving something that is not a thing. A thing, exactly.
That's
give
right.
us a call. You might win yourself tickets to Red Hot Summer Tour 13/27/10. We're talking about non-tangible Christmas gifts after I saw an ad about a hearing test and giving people hearing tests for Christmas on the TV last night. And we're asking for your non-tangible ideas.
Sometimes it can be, I love the idea of that. I really do. I used to know a girlfriend of mine, Virginia. She used to give massages.
See, that's a great gift.
Yeah, it's a great gift. Fantastic. And it wasn't a dodgy massage or anything, unfortunately.
No, it's just a straight massage. No happy endings there. Yeah. Hello, Gary from Baddow Bay.
Hello, Mandy, Akmal.
Hello, Gary.
Great to have you on board. We're talking about those non-tangible gifts. Now, Al, our producer, pays a bill for his mum every Christmas, which I think is cool. I'm not sold on the hearing test thing, but, you know, you might want to get someone a hearing test for Christmas. What?
Yeah, probably me.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. What are you buying that's not tangible?
I'm buying an air ticket for my wife to Brisbane.
Oh, like to get rid of her. Cool.
Yeah.
Have a bit of quiet time.
No, she's going to meet with us two sisters up there and have a bit of a holiday and her brother from America.
That's a great gift. Yes.
Yeah.
So I hope you haven't spoiled the surprise by saying it live on the radio.
Well, she had to do it, so she does know about it.
Oh, there you go. She needs to check in and all of that.
It's like, why are you taking me to the airport? Don't worry about it. Why are you putting me on a plane? Just you'll know.
Yeah, I'm moving on, mate.
I've got no choice.
Hey, Gary, thank you for the call. We're going to send you to the Red Hot Summer Tour, and you've got that to give her as well.
2GO's Mandy and Akmal on the air right now.
I have got George, the Greek god, from production in the studio. Mm. Hi, George.
Morning.
I thought we'd get him in because I went to Georgie's 40th birthday a little while ago, a few weeks ago, and I got chatting to your sister, Carol. She's sister fantastic, Carol. By the way. I love your family.
Yeah, Carol is not a typical Greek name. It's like Tula, Fazula, and Carol.
It's actually Chariklia.
Ah.
There you go.
Australianised it.
And your mum and dad are beautiful too, by the way. They came out at George's 40th, brought out all this food. They had lamb and they had salads.
Greeks love food. Beware of Greeks bearing food.
Yeah.
Because you'll never...
Well, you put on kilos, I know that.
Oh, my God. People have been there for months eating their souvlakis and their...
So beautiful.
What's your favourite dish?
Yemista, like stuffed tomatoes.
Yemista.
What about spanakopita?
Yeah.
I like spanakopita.
You could be here for days.
I know. All right. Let's not talk about the food. I was at the party, got talking to your sister Carol, and she told me a story, and I thought, right, you got to confess this to Akmal. This is too funny, right?
And widow,
but this is particular to you, Akmal, right? This story made me laugh.
Okay. So it was maybe 10 years ago. and you were doing a show in Belmont at the sailing club there.
Oh, yeah.
And we tried to, and it was sold out. Or actually, it wasn't sold out. There were two tickets left. My brother-in-law and my sister got the tickets, and they're like, we can't get your ticket. I'm like, you guys go, I'll come, and I might be able to get one on the door, or someone might be selling one.
Yeah.
So anyway, we go there, no luck. So I'm standing around, and I see a friend of mine there, and he's like, has anyone asked you for an autograph? And I'm like, give you a bit of a backstory. I'm a DJ in Newcastle.
Yeah.
A
few people, I see where this is going.
A few people know who I am, and I'm like, mate, we're in a sailing club. No one's going to know who I am. The demographic is wrong.
Yeah.
And then it got me thinking, maybe I can just lie my way in and say that I'm you.
Because now, for those of you that don't know, George is bald and reasonably similar height to Akmal.
Yes.
And you are very similar looking because you've got the dark Greek skin and, of course, you've got your dark Egyptian skin.
Mm.
So you do actually look remarkably like Akmal.
That's the thing. I said, what do you mean? No one knows who I am here. And he turned over and he goes, no, look, you look like Akmal. There was a big poster in there.
Yeah, and I'm like, I look good in posters, yeah.
And I was wearing kind of the same clothes and I'm like, okay, let's try this. So we walked up. You know, there's the hordes of people are walking. It's sold out. The auditorium is sold out.
Yeah.
And the kid there's ripping the tickets, and I just said, I'm here to perform. He looks up. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And I just walked in.
I might try that with Carl Barron.
Maybe you should get up on stage in front of Carl Barron's audience,
or someone that looks nothing like me.
Mm.
You know, just like who can you think? Like,
Jim Owen.
Well, me, you know, I was thinking more like Bob Dylan. So yeah, I'm Bob Dylan. I've been in an accident. I'm now a burns victim.
I think that's hysterical.
I got
in, and that's where the story gets a little bit funnier because I'm like, well, I got away with that. What more can I get away with? So I'm sitting at the back of the auditorium, like people are walking in, they're kind of looking at me. I'm waving at them, like I've got my jacket. I'm kind of like, what would Akmal do?
So
I was hiding behind my jacket, like.
Why is he in the audience?
Yeah,
he's in the wrong area.
And what's he doing?
And then you walked out, and everyone's like, well, that's not him.
Sprung.
Was it a good show?
Yeah, it was a great
show. That's all I care about.
That's all
he cares about. Well, it was sold out, so of course it was.
No, thanks
a lot.
Yeah,
but that was 10 years ago.
But yeah, I hope you don't go around committing, crimes or...
No, I don't.
Because you could get away with it because people will believe it.
No,
wasn't me. That was Akmal.
What if Akmal pretends to be you and tries to do a DJ set somewhere in Newcastle on the weekend?
We should try it.
Yeah, we should
get you there on the decks, mate.
Yeah,
doing your thing.
I'd give it a go.
Get your deep bass going.
give it a whirl.
Hey?
Well, George, the younger, better looking Akmal, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Mandy and Akmal for breakfast on 2GO.
Hello.
Time for us to get out of here. Before we do, did you know there's an Indian cricketer who just.
Yes, I did. Many of them.
Well, there are, but one of them's called Ishant Sharma, who just played in Adelaide with the first test against Australia. His name's Ishant Sharma.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
If his nickname is an instant karma, like his name's Ishant Sharma.
Yeah.
He should be called
Ishant Sharma's
karma.
Gonna get you.
Yeah.
Gonna knock you right on the head.
Exactly.
No, Ishant Sharma, they got, because they're foreigners, they got funny names.
Yeah, but instant karma, I'd be calling him if he was in my team.
And Peanut Butter Jar comes. Remember that?
No.
Doesn't matter.
The 12th man. The 12th. Anyways, you can catch up with the show, download the 2GO app. We've got to get out of here. Mickey D's up next.
Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Wake up with Mandy and Akmal live from 5:30 weekdays on 107.7 2GO, or catch up anytime via the 2GO app.